This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Rach.
This is Dean.
And this is the Rach and Dean podcast. You are with Rach and Dean on Joy. It is our first drive show.
I know, right? Da, 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 da. How exciting.
It is very exciting.
Well, you know, I've got a bit of a cold. We've got a bit of a cold for our first drive home.
That's okay, because we have a doctor in the house.
I know. Dr. Armand joins us. Hey, Dr. Armand, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm so great, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Okay, Dr. Armand.
Yes.
You're not just a doctor. You're not just here to diagnose our snuffly noses and sore throats. You're a comedian.
Yes, you can say that. I'm a doctor comedian.
Now, you're here for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Now, what's your show called?
It's called Doctor in the House.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, it's Hello. Called Doctor in the House, brackets, what your doctor really thinks.
Boom, do we boom, want boom. To know?
Well, most people do. I think it's a kind of intriguing concept, really. There's a slight voyeuristic element there where people are curious to know what goes on behind the closed doors of the job. So
well,
I find
it's like with embarrassing bodies. You know that television show where
yes.
people turn up with their embarrassing bodies
yes.
and they reveal all and the doctor keeps a straight face?
100%, yeah.
And I'm thinking, what goes on inside their heads
well,
as they keep that straight face, that poker face?
Yes, you're right. So you learn a poker face very early on in the career. it serves you well. But yeah, so the show's just, it's a lighthearted opportunity for me to share some of those moments where you want to know what is the doctor thinking.
Yes.
Now, what happens to the whole doctor-patient confidentiality thing? Like, do you have to say, oh, so yes, Jim Bob came in and Jim Bob is a middle-aged man, but actually Jim Bob's a girl with blonde hair. How do you get
innocent,
beyond yes. the doctor-patient confidentiality?
Yeah, no, you're quite right. It was a serious consideration when I was writing the show, because I really wouldn't want, like, for anyone to sit in the audience and think that I'm talking specifically about them.
But you know what? People probably do.
Yes, they do, and I'll tell you why. So the way I've got around this issue is because in the show, I don't actually talk about any individual specific patient life circumstances. They're just a series of kind of general anecdotes of things that happen on a fairly regular basis. And then I explain that to everyone at the beginning of the show, and then I see everyone kind of sigh a breath of relief at that, to be honest.
Do you put your foot in it? Have you put your foot in it with any particular audiences?
Not really. I'm quite lucky in that way as well. In that I wanted for the sentiment of the show to be a positive, friendly one. Like, I wanted to make a show where afterwards people would still want to see me as a doctor. I like to educate and entertain, but without kind of humiliation or calling people out. So reassuringly, I've only ever been love heckled, to be honest. Like, I've never been, no one's ever shouted at anything mean. They've only shouted at nice things.
Aww.
So I'm glad about that.
Do you ever, when you're doing a consult with a patient in your day job as a GP, do you ever sort of slip into a bit of comedy or?
All the time.
Oh,
all
really?
The time. So I trained in England and we're taught to be quite stoical, not to fraternize. And then I started the job with that approach and I realized I'm not going to last in this job if I'm serious the whole time.
Yeah.
So now, to be honest, whenever it's appropriate and I have good rapport with the patient, I try and integrate humor.
Tish boom.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
nasty rash, Tish boom.
What?
nasty rash you got there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, a little bit. So, like, I'll go to give someone an injection and they'll be a little bit anxious. So it'll be a lady who's come for a whooping cough jab. And then just before I give it, I'll say, you wanted testosterone, right? And then she'll giggle, then she'll realise I'm laughing, and then she's much more relaxed for the injection. So just small things like that.
Do you ever put on a serious face, though, and, like, wait and see what their reaction is and then go, ah, just gotcha?
Always. Otherwise it's not funny.
All right. Very important question.
Yes?
What is your vasectomy technique?
Oh.
Straight to the hard questions there, Rach.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Going straight for it.
Okay. You mean, like, the medical one or the comedy one?
Oh,
so my medical technique is I make a small 1 centimeter incision in the midline raphe and then exteriorize the vas.
Ooh.
But my comedy technique is I find Australian men are usually very, very happy to reveal themselves and show their bits, apart from when it comes to a vasectomy, and then suddenly they're very shy. So they're quite nervous, and I'll try and build a bit of banter to relax them. So what I'll do is, just before I start, I'll say to the nurse, I'll say, nurse, nurse, no, this is not okay. Can you please change the instrument pack? I need the one for extra small penises. And then he'll look shocked and he'll look at me, and then he'll start giggling because he'll realise that I'm joking. And I'll say, no, no, sorry, I am just joking. I see a lot of penises and I can confirm yours is average. And then he'll laugh at that too. And then just before we start again, I'll say to this, I'll say, oh, just one last thing. I need the stick, please, to beat the penis when they get an erection. And then again, he'll start to laugh. So just little things like that, I find, make the vasectomy go a little bit easier.
That's what you want, a vasectomy with a joke, with a laugh.
Yeah. Well, look, if I ever have to go in for a vasectomy, it's probably not going to happen.
I think it works, you know, because once I was a bit shocked because somebody took a picture afterwards of their vasectomy report that I had done, confirming their nose, and then put it on Instagram with a picture from a promo of my show saying, this Dr. Ahmed, the comedian, did my vasectomy and I have no sperm left in my semen. It was hilarious.
That's a great testimonial.
Yes. I had never had a review like that before.
No. Doctor, you've done some gigs in Perth and Adelaide. So you've done comedy in the Perth Fringe?
That's right, yeah.
What else? Adelaide Fringe?
Edinburgh
Fringe as well.
Yep. Wow. Brighton and Los Angeles. So I tried it for the first time last year in February 2016. And then it went really well in Perth. I had no idea how it was going to be received. Yeah. And then because it was so well received, I decided it had taken so long to make the show, I thought I'd tour with it. So I've had a lovely year, really, to be honest.
Been around the world.
Yes.
And this is your first time at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival?
It is. And I'm very excited and really honoured to be here because it's quite prestigious. It's the second biggest comedy festival in the world. So it's a really a nice gig to be part of.
It's pretty exciting. And you've already sold out a couple of shows.
Yes.
So if people want to come and see you, you're performing at the Butterfly Club at 8:30.
Correct.
PM.
Yeah.
Not in the morning. No comedians are awake at 8:30 in the morning. No. From the 10th to the 16th of April. But if you want to go tonight, too bad, sold out. Yep. If you want to go Thursday, too bad, sold out. So where do we go to get tickets?
So you can go online. If you just go to the Butterfly Club website, you can do it on my website as well, which is drahmed.net, or even through the MCIF website.
I like the Butterfly Club. It's a nice little intimate little venue there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Nice. It's really like kitschy and they've got decorations everywhere and posters everywhere. It's quite intimate. Lovely.
Fantastic.
Venue.
Now, I've also noticed in one of your performance pictures, you are wearing a sequined jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a bit of singing and dancing going on in your comedy?
There is a little bit of singing and dancing. You're quite right. I like to play that down because I like to keep it as a bit of a surprise. Oh. But the Bollywood vixen in me was just too big was too big to suppress. And I tried, and I thought, no, I have to belt out a tune or two and do a little bit of twerking for the crowd. So
twerking,
a little bit of twerking.
Now, I did read that you got into comedy after some not pleasant circumstances, but you had an unsuccessful venture in pole dancing prior to comedy. Is that where the twerking has come from?
No. I took the twerking to the pole dancing lesson.
Oh.
It was just the pole that I couldn't negotiate. You need some major core strength.
You do, don't you?
So I could do the moves, I could shake it, but no, getting up and down that pole, that was very difficult. Very difficult. So I decided stand-up comedy was a safer, less athletic venture than pole dancing.
Yeah, but why not? Spread out, do all the creative, put your fingers in all the pies.
Definitely.
Joy.
All day, every day. Joy 94.9 on air and online at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.